Amen. Good to be with you this evening. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, not an unfamiliar passage of Scripture for us this evening, but just a truth, I would say a simple truth, a truth that we've heard many times. But as I was preparing for a different sermon, this sermon idea or this seed for this sermon jumped out at me, and I said, I'll preach at a different time, and then I was asked to preach this evening. And so before we get any farther in the message, does anyone know the little chorus? It's actually a song, but the chorus sticks with you. He's still working on me. He's still working on me. How many know that one? All right, what I'd like to do, do we have the words for that one ready to go or not? Maybe not. We do. All right. It's on the screen there. All right. For those at home, if you know it, we're going to sing it through twice. Help me out with the tune. All right. He's still working on me. Ready? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Did that ring the bell? All right, let's try it one more time. Here we go. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. Amen. And so as we think about that, he's still working on me. And that's an amazing fact, amen, that God is still working on us. And not only us in a general sense, but he's still working on me, amen. And you can personalize it this evening that he is still working on you. No matter what's going on, God is still working in your life, and he wants to be working in your life. Psalm chapter 8, verse 4, it says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him." Hebrews chapter 2 reiterates Psalm chapter 8. And it should strike us. And I'm sure if we would just think a little bit about ourselves, we would echo what was said in the Psalms and in Hebrews. Just what is man? Who are we that God would take the time to even think about us, let alone send Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us and pay for our sin debt? And then he rose again the third day, and now he provides salvation. As we accept God's gift of salvation, we have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. And God still wants to do that conforming, that transforming work in our life. And so this evening's message is just that the truth of that little chorus. He's still working on me. He's still working on me. And so Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." So who has started that good work in us? God has. Jesus Christ has. And so he is going to keep working in us and through us until we are like who? Jesus Christ. And then we will be with him forever. And so being confident of this very thing, verse 7, "Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." And so we have a great opportunity as we live in this life, not only to be adopted into the family of God, but to become like Jesus Christ, to take on his personality as he works and lives through us. We can have the fruit of the Spirit being displayed in our life. And so he's still working on us. And we should never lose track of that. No matter what discouragements we go through, no matter what sicknesses we go through or those that we love go through, God is still working in us. And he wants us to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, knowing this, that God is going to keep working and performing in our life. And so one thing I want to be careful of, just before we get into the meat of the message, if you will, sometimes we use this truth as a crutch to justify our lethargy or justify our laziness or justify the sin that we have in our life. Because how many, we have a character flaw, we have a sin problem, and we say, oh, don't give up on me, God isn't finished with me yet, you know, he's still working on me, haha, I'm going to go sin anyways. And so we need to be careful that we don't use this truth, this important truth that God is still working on us as a crutch or as an excuse, because how many of us like to make excuses for our sin? Or our character flaws. You know, we all like to do that. Oh, you know, I'll do better next time. And we must be careful of the flesh. And so before we get going on in this message, we must not presume upon God. We must not presume upon God. My mind always goes back to David moving the ark. He wanted to move the ark of God up to Jerusalem, and he put it on an ox cart, and he wasn't following the word of God. He just presumed that, you know, God understood his intentions and you know, would wink at this violation of his word. And we see that Uzzah put his hand on the ark, and God struck him dead, and David got upset with God and all this, and he just put the ark away in someone else's house, and he presumed upon God. He presumed upon God. Psalm chapter 19, verse 13, the first part of that passage of Scripture says, "Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me." And so as we live our life, we all know and we all heard that God is working in us. He wants to conform us into the image of Christ. But how many times we acknowledge that with our mind and then we say, well, I'm going to go do my own thing anyways. And we presume upon God, and we just do what our flesh tells us to do. And so what the psalmist here is saying in Psalm chapter 19, he's saying, keep me back from presumptuous sins. And what is presumptuous sins? It's irreverent with respect to sacred things. It's a willful violation of known duty. It's a willful violation of known duty. And so when we are faced with the flesh and our flesh says, I want to do this and I want you to say that and I want you to go here, we have a choice to make. Our will is depraved, and we need to understand that every time we sin, there is a choice involved. God, the Holy Spirit, doesn't make us do anything. We choose to follow the word of God. We choose to follow our flesh. There is that constant battle that goes on, but at the end, we choose what we do. And we have to be careful that we don't use this truth as a crutch and saying, you know what, God will just wink at my sin because, you know, he's still working on me. I don't want us to minimize the fact that God is still working on us. And so we have to be careful of that presumptuous sin, that choosing. My own definition of presumptuous is choosing to willfully sin against God and his word. Choosing to willfully sin against God and his word. And so we have to be careful of that. We have to be careful. And I don't want to discount any of the fact that God is still working on us, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so this great truth, and I hope you understand, if there's one thing I want you to take from this message, is that he's still working on you. He's still working on you. He hasn't given up on you. Man, there are times in my life I just think, you know, God, why haven't you given up on me? Why do I have to keep going and learning some of these lessons, but yet God is still faithful and he forgives? And you know, we all get frustrated with ourselves, right? We all have some of those sins that trip us up. How many know what I'm talking about? We all have that. All right, we have that besetting sin. You know what it is, and we can get victory. But how many times we give in to those things and we just say, God, why do you even bother? Or what's the use? And yet, understand that God is still working on me. Understand that even in our sin, God still wants to work on us. We don't make excuses. We get right with God and we move on. And then even with our character flaws, God still works on us. I mean, are you always a little bit late? Late is late, all right? Are you always a little bit, do you have time scheduling? Do you have tough time scheduling? You know, we all have those different character flaws, and they in and of themselves may not be named sin, but they just frustrate us. They just frustrate us. And if we're not careful, our own critical flesh and the attacks of Satan would like to use our character flaws to get us frustrated with ourselves and get discouraged and give up on doing what God has called us to do. It's amazing. I'm not making light of depression, but it's amazing just the little triggers that go off that can send people into deep times of depression. And just those little insignificant things, but to that person, it is so real. And we need to understand that in those times, God is still working on us. He's still working on me. I think, you know, Peter denied Christ, and Christ forgave him. I think of Paul struggled with the flesh. He said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me?" He understood. We don't see a lot of the things that Paul struggled with, but he was fighting the flesh. And yet he said, "Ah, man," he struggled with the flesh, and we will struggle with the flesh. You know, Thomas, he doubted. He's known forever, not as Thomas the disciple, but what do we call him? Doubting Thomas. That could have discouraged him. That could have thrown him for a loop and said, this is over. But he stayed with it. I think of David when he sinned, and he sinned multiple times. It doesn't take us long to see where he blew it in several occasions in his life. And Moses lost his temper. He blew the stack several times. But yet, God was still working on him. And so even in my sin, not making excuses for my sin, even in my character flaws, God is still working on me. And God is still working on you. A man in the scriptures came to mind, and if you would write down Job chapter 1, because time is flying, all right? Job chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect." Wow. This is what God said of Job. This man was perfect and upright. I mean, this man was mature in the integrity of his heart. His motives were right. And one that feared, he reverenced God. He feared God and he eschewed evil. That means when he saw it coming, he ran. He wasn't going to entertain evil. He was a perfect, he was an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And you know what? We say, wow, I would like that testimony to be said of me. I would like that too. But understand, as we continue to read through Job, God still was going to do a work in Job's life. He said, yeah, he was that man, that Job, that man was perfect. He said, yeah, Job was upright. Job fears me. He runs from evil. He eschewed evil. But you know what? There's still a work that needs to be done in Job's life. And we may have things in our life where we think it's good. We're upright. I mean, we're mature in the Christian life. And yet God may come to us and he wants to do a work in us. And he starts that process. And that process can be a bit upsetting. You think of what happened in Job's life. We would have to look for a long time in this life to see someone who has gone through what Job went through. You think of all that he lost, not only of all the possessions and the lands and the buildings that he lost, but the people who he lost, his own children. But yet God was going to do a work in his life. And in Job 23:10, Job brings it all together. He says, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And so he understood that God, even though out of the integrity of his heart, he was going to be walking with God. He was upright. He was fearing God. He was trying to get close to God. But he understood that God was still doing a work in his life. And no matter where we find ourselves, whether we find ourselves maybe not quite so perfect, maybe not quite upright, maybe we don't fear God like we should. Maybe we don't run from evil like we ought. We need to get right. I can't emphasize that enough. We need to get right. But yet God is still working in us. And if God looked at Job and said, you know what? He needs to be worked on. He needs to be put through a fire. He needs to be put through some tests. Mark it down. God still is going to work in us. Don't miss this point. He's still working on me. And you need to personalize that. Job could have used the struggles, the failures, the disappointments as an excuse to not do the will of God. But yet we know in all this, Job did not sin or charge God foolishly. And so don't use the struggles, failures, and disappointments of life to not do the will of God. Because in every one of those situations, whether it's people who attack you, whether it's people who disappoint you, maybe it's your own failures, understand that God wants to do a work in you. He that hath begun a good work, he's going to continue that. And we need to let him do that work. Sometimes we want the easy Christian life, and we're talking about non-confrontational Christianity. Amen. How many of us like conflict? I mean, yeah, we eschew conflict. We run from it, you know, and we don't like it. And I'm not sure where I'm going. No, I know where I'm going. But you know, many of us we would use the tough things in life. And Satan would use that to distract us and to get us to get frustrated in this Christian life. But God wants to use every situation in our life, whether we deem it good, bad, or just even the ho-hum times of life where things don't really seem to be happening, good or bad, we're just going through life. God is still working in us. God still wants to work in us. Jesus Christ is still working on me. Don't allow the root of bitterness to spring up and stunt the work, squelch the work, the transforming work that God is doing in your life. We have to be careful. It's a diligent process, lest in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many are defiled." And so we have to be careful that the circumstances, the disappointments in life don't distract us, don't discourage us from doing the work that God has called us to do, because he's still working on us. Amen? He's still working on you. And don't be like one of the disciples. He said, "I'm going fishing." He said, "It's over. I give up." It wasn't over. It wasn't over. You may be in that point in your life where you're saying, "You know, it's over. My Christian walk. You know, I'm done with church. I'm done with preaching. I'm done with reading my Bible. I'm done with prayer." No, God still wants to work in you. And God is going to work in you. If you are his child, he's going to work in you. And that's a great truth. And so we need to understand that he's still working on us. And that's a great thought, because I get frustrated and I give up on myself a lot. But God doesn't. He still comes and he still works on us. And number two, moving along, God, and this is so important for us to begin with. Not only is God working in us, can you believe it? He's taking time for others. He's taking time. God is still working on others. You know, growing up, when it was time for ice cream or cake or even a meal that we really enjoyed, man, we would get scooping our own stuff, and with eight kids, and a gallon of ice cream didn't last long, right? And so there was a saying, hey, take it easy. You're not the only pebble on the beach, right? How many have heard that before? You're not the only pebble on the beach, all right? You're not the only one there, all right? There's other people out there. And we need to understand that God is still working on others. He's not just working on you. The people you get frustrated at, he wants to do a work in them too. The people you really enjoy to be around, he's working on them. He's conforming them into the image of Jesus Christ as well. I know I preached a chapel sermon not too long ago, but I'd like to go there because it just illustrates this fact and gives us a visualization of what was going on and just the care that Jesus Christ has, not only for just certain individuals, but everyone. So let's go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And Mark chapter 5, it's the story of Jairus' daughter is sick, but yet it also has the woman with the issue of blood. In Mark chapter 5, verse 21, and I'm going to take the time and read, it says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee," he's begging him, "come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him." And so Jesus Christ had an important mission. Jairus' daughter was about to die. Man, that's serious. When you think about your kids growing up or you know, you have siblings, I mean, you think of the fear and the panic that goes through your heart and your mind when you hear the thump, 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 thump down the stairs, you know, and you can't wait for the wail because that means they're breathing, all right? And you just have that going on in your life, and man, and so you can feel that Jairus wanted Jesus Christ. You could feel the panic going on because his daughter was about to die. She was at the point of death. But verse 25, it says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched me? Or who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe." God is still working on others. He's not only working on us. And we need to understand that. You see the insistence of this father, Jesus had to come with him right away, and it seemed like such a small thing for Jesus to stop and heal that lady. But you can imagine what was going on in Jairus's heart. He's saying, my daughter's about to die. And he was going. He's saying, hey, quit stalling, Jesus. Let's go. Yeah. But yet there was a woman with the issue of blood who needed Jesus Christ at that time. And so we go through the different things in our life and we get ourselves whipped into a frazzle and man, we get all anxious about everything and God isn't working fast enough in our life. Understand, He's working in the lives of others. And He wants to not only work in my life, but He wants to work in the lives of others. So God is sufficient for everyone's problems. How do we act when God answers the prayer of others and not our prayer? What's our response to that? Do we get mad at God? Do we get upset with God? No, God is still working not only in you, but He's working in others. And we need to remember that God is sufficient for everyone's problems. God is sufficient for everyone's problems, not only to heal the sick daughter of Jairus, but He was sufficient to heal the woman with the issue of blood. He's sufficient for all of our problems. He's still working on us. He's a personal Savior. He's a personal sanctifier. He's going to work on us. And He's working on others. And another great truth as I'm hurrying on, God wants to use you to help others. God wants to help God wants to use you to help others. Think of the man that was carried to Jesus by his friends in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Hey, he couldn't get to Jesus by himself. He needed the help of others. He needed people to draw up alongside him and carry all his weight. And you know, there are going to be people that you and I are going to have to help. Man, it's the Christian life shouldn't be a sink or swim. When other Christians see people sinking, hey, we should grab a corner of their bed. We should carry them. We should help them. We should do our part. We should help them. I think of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through 36. Hey, that man needed a help. He needed help. And so God wants to do a work in you. God wants to do a work in others. And God wants to use you to help others. So is God using you to help others? What does this look like? This he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient he must be. He's still working on me. What does this look like? James 4, verse 7 gives us the key, and it's a passage that we've looked at quite a bit over the last month and a half, but we need to submit to God and his word. If we're going to grow and God is going to do a work in us, one that will bear much fruit, we have to submit ourselves. We have to, that word submit means to yield, to give up our own will. In another sense, it's we defer to what God wants. I may want to do something. I may say, you know, Sarah, I know we can't really, well, we can now. I really want, Subway for lunch. I can tell her that. Because that's what I want. She says, no, I'd rather go here. Okay. I defer to her. Not always, but I do. Sometimes. I give up what I want for what she wants. And that's what yielding submission is. It's deferring our will. Deferring our will to the will of God. And so we must submit ourselves to God and His Word. And that's where it we begin to help others. We need to abide in him. John chapter 15, 1 through 7, we cannot bear fruit. We cannot bear fruit if we're not abiding in Christ. If that's not our home, that abiding where we go and we rest and we commune, and he does a work in our heart and our mind, and then we can bear much fruit. But if we're not abiding in God, we're not abiding in the vine, we cannot bear fruit. Our branches, we will dry up as Christians, we will become discouraged, we will become bitter, and we will become critics. We need to abide in him. Submit to God and his word, abide in him, and that transforming work through the power of the Holy Spirit, feeding on the bread of life through the word of God, begins to work in us and through us and on us, and we become like Jesus Christ. And then as we do that, we work. We work. We go for it. We go for what God, we start doing what God has called us to do. I mean, I was just thinking about athletes. They spend hours and hours and hours in the gym, on the track, on the field, just practicing. And then when it's game time, they go half-hearted. No. They go for it. They go for it. And as we abide in Christ and we allow him to do that work, because he's still working on us, we allow him to do that work in our heart and our mind, then when it's time for us to go and give out the gospel and do the work that God has called us to do, then we go. It's time to go. Are you doing what you know you ought to be doing? Are you doing what you know you ought to be doing? That's how we're going to be victorious. That's how we're going to find fulfillment, is knowing that we're doing what God has called us to do. Remember, he's still working on us. And I want that working in my life not to be one of chastening. Because chastening is never pleasant. I want it to be because he looks at me and he says, I just got to take some of these edges off. We may be upright. We may be mature, perfect. We may be eschewing, running from evil. But God says, I need to do a work. I'm still working on you. And I want him to be working on me because I need it, not because I've sinned. And so, remember, God is still working on us. Isaiah 64, verse 8 says, but now, O Lord, thou art Father, we are the clay, and thou art potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Remember, God is still working on me. God is still working on you. Let's not forget that. Tomorrow, when you get up, understand God has a work to do in your life. God has a work to do in the life of others. So let God work in you, and may God use all of us to help others. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. And I don't know how the Lord has spoken to you in your heart, but understand, it could be that you got discouraged. It is discouraging, I understand. Satan would like to use our failures to just get us to look down on ourselves and to view us in a negative way. And remember, God is still working on you. God wants to do a good work in you, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He wants to do a good work in you. So this evening, come to him and say, Lord, whatever you want to do in my life, there's some rough edges, I know. We all know we have areas, we have sin. Get that right with God. Get that sin right and repent and forsake and get back in fellowship with God, and then understand God will come to all of us at some point in time. And as we grow in him, there are going to be uncomfortable times, but understand it's for our good and his glory. And he's still working on us. Let's let him work. And then let me challenge you. Help someone else grow. We're not the only Christians out here. Help others grow. Who are you helping along in their Christian life? Who are you encouraging? Who are you drawing up alongside and saying, you know what? This is what I got from my devotions. This is what God taught me. You know, this was a blessing. Who are you helping? Who are you encouraging? We're not the only one that God is concerned about. But yet he's still working on us. He's still working on me. Amen. Lord, we do thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for working on us. Lord, we don't deserve it. Lord, as the psalmist said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And Lord, we just thank you for the work that you have done, Lord, the work that you want to do. And Lord, you want to use us to reach others and to help them grow. And I pray you'd help us to be submitted to your word, Lord, that we would stay close to you, abiding in you, as John 15 bears out. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to work, Lord, so little time. And Lord, I pray you just help us to be faithful, Lord, not only allowing you to work in our lives, Lord, helping others grow, but Lord, I pray that when it's time to work, you would find us faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.